This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Rebecca Lavoie, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. We don't often talk about local crimes on the show, but a bold act of vandalism in Concord South End has been holding our attention for days now, in part because it speaks to a broader conversation we're having about the impact of refugee resettlement in towns across America. It's also an important point in an even larger immigration story, which is the focus of an ongoing series here on NHPR. Since the early 1980s, thousands of refugees from war-torn parts of the world have made New Hampshire their home, and reaction to their arrival has been mixed, from the work of many volunteer organizations to help refugees integrate successfully, to the recent vote by the Manchester Board of Mayor and Aldermen to enact a moratorium on refugees settling in that city. Sarah Palermo has been covering this latest development in the New Hampshire refugee story for the Concord Monitor, where she's a staff reporter. Sarah, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who haven't heard the story, what happened this weekend?
There were three families in Concord South End on two separate streets. They woke up Sunday morning. I spoke with one of them about how they found this graffiti where one of the daughters went outside and came back into the house and saw this paragraph-long black marker writing across the wall next to their front door.
Well, we should make it clear this wasn't the kind of, you know, quick scrawling of an N-word on a house. I'll read one of the pieces of graffiti that was left, and just a warning to listeners, it is pretty offensive. You are not welcome here. This town was a wonderful, crime-free place for hundreds of years. Your subhuman culture has already brought many crimes linked to your mud people, and on and on. And the theme really here is, you know, we're sick of your free ride, we're sick of paying for you here, is sort of the underlying message. What does it say that this person really spent this much time and wrote this diatribe?
I think what investigators are taking from that is that there's someone from that neighborhood who had been thinking about this for a long time and had been planning this. They're not looking at this as if it were something that had come up spontaneously from someone young or rash. And the thought that went into writing such long messages on these three different houses, very specifically targeted African refugees. There are hundreds of refugees from Southeast India also in Concord, and these families were all from different African countries. This was a very targeted, very thought-out attack.
Now, you spent time with one of the families the day afterward. What was their immediate reaction?
They were very afraid. There were two young boys, 11 and 13, in that house, and their older sisters, who were 20 and 24, I believe, were home for the weekend from college for a baptism at their church. And when they found it Sunday, they were very afraid. They called their father, who had already left to go to church. He's a pastor at a local church nearby. They called him. He told them to call the police. When I spoke to them on Monday, their mother told me that the four children had not wanted to sleep in separate rooms that night. They hadn't wanted to be downstairs, but had instead all slept together upstairs and hadn't slept very well. That she woke up several times whenever a car would drive by or there would be a noise. She herself would wake up and see one of her daughters also awake and just very, very frightened.
Well, you made an interesting point there. I mean, these weren't recent immigrants. This is a family that's been in the community for a while and really established themselves here.
It's true that Manas Nagendahayo, who's the pastor I had mentioned, he moved to Concord in 2002. His family came shortly thereafter, if not that year, then the next year. And he's well established in the community, attends classes at New Hampshire Technical Institute in Concord. And so do the members of the other families. They are taking college classes and trying to improve themselves to find better jobs.
We're talking about a truly shocking act of vandalism committed against three families right here in Concord last weekend. All three families were resettled refugee families from Africa. All three had a full paragraph of graffiti scrawled on the clapboards of their homes. Sarah Palermo has been covering the story and the community's reaction to it for the Concord Monitor. Before we get to the reaction, I know that the investigation has elevated this to the level of hate crime. What exactly does that mean?
For the investigation, it doesn't actually mean a whole lot because New Hampshire's hate crime law is an enhanced penalty statute. It doesn't affect the investigation, but if they were to find the person or persons who did this, prosecute and successfully you know, prosecute them for the crime. When it comes to sentencing, the judge, I believe, would have the ability to put in a harsher penalty. On something like a misdemeanor, it would increase the penalty from anything from a few months to 2 to 5 years.
Now, almost immediately after the story was first reported, people on the Concord Monitor online site started posting reactions. And I know that there were also some immediate community reactions. Talk to me about how, you know, other people in Concord who obviously weren't responsible for the graffiti reacted to it.
Sure. Well, when I met with Ngindaheyo and his family, they had just gotten a vase of flowers from a woman they didn't know. They said she came up to the door and said, please take this. It had a note attached to it that I think in case they hadn't been home, she wanted them to know she appreciates their presence in her community. She welcomes them. And they've said that since this happened, that's been the common theme, that people have been coming up to them, to the house. They're still nervous every time someone comes up to the door. They're visibly shaken, but very appreciative of the generous and welcoming attitude that the people who are coming up to them have.
And one of the posts on the site said, you know, Concord is better than this, was the one that really struck me. You visited Run Lit Middle School in Concord High yesterday. Tell me what's going on there around the story.
Sure. Well, the two boys who live in the home that I visited both attend Run Lit, and there were about 40 students of refugee families there. The principal had gathered them all together in the room where they all take English as a second language class, and brought them together, told them, asked them what they knew about what had happened, how they felt about it, told them it had saddened him because he knew so much more about them than what someone who would just do something like this would know about them.
Incidentally, the one thing I found interesting is they call them new Americans at the school.
Yeah, there's a movement in social work circles and refugee resettlement organizations to really emphasize that, because their refugee status is from the international community. But now that they're here, they have paperwork to move towards becoming citizens. So they're considered new Americans. But
And the Concord High students just didn't really want to send any other message than we are not of this mind. Right?
The Concord High students actually reached out to us. Run Lit Middle School had invited me to come and sit and listen to that conversation. Whereas in this case, this was the students at Concord High who reached out to staff members there who called me and said they want to tell the community that this is not our generation. This could not have been someone of our generation who did this. We don't feel that way. We don't believe that anyone should be treated differently because of the color of their skin or where they're from.
I know that the Concord Reads program coincidentally is running a program about a book about refugee kids. This is a conversation that's been bubbling for a while. Do you think there could be a silver lining here, that this is triggering a conversation that needed to happen?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would say that they're glad it happened, but it is bringing a conversation up that, at least as long as I've been in the city, hasn't happened overtly. I think that the interfaith community has been having this conversation within itself, bringing people into church. There's a church in East Concord that has opened its doors to allow Nepalese refugees to use that space for their worship. So there has been a conversation happening. I think now it's getting a lot more attention.
Well, I know we'll be following your reporting. It's really been outstanding on the story. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sarah Palermo is staff reporter for the Concord Monitor. She's been covering the story of graffiti targeting three homes occupied by African refugee families just blocks from where we're sitting. For a link to her stories and to the Concord Reads program and a Love Your Neighbor celebration taking place this weekend that we just found out about, visit wordofmouthradio.org. For more about NHPR's ongoing series on immigration, you can also visit nhpr.org. The series is made possible in part by the New Hampshire Humanities Council and the Norwin S. and Elizabeth N. Bean Foundation. Coming up, two surprising twists on art and music you can take in this weekend. A seaside motel is transformed into a pop-up gallery, and pop songs are sung by a surprising chorus. That's when Word of Mouth returns. This is NHPR.